Colm and Lucy podcast with Colm Hayes and Lucy Kennedy.
From Nova.ie and Radio Nova.
Hello, wherever you are in the world right now, whatever time of day it is, let me welcome you into the Colm and Lucy podcast for this particular week. It's an exciting one. We have the do's and don'ts of weddings, the I do's and the I don'ts. Also, we will be analysing your sexy dreams. You may be having one right now while listening to this. Well, we'll find out what you're thinking about, really. We go to the movies. We have Paul Howard, who is just, he's the writer of Copperface Jacks, the musical, and that's just on show at the moment, if you're listening to this in my time zone. Also, we speak about your undergarments. Oh, yeah, you. Max Zoo competition, quite funny, something that happened. Have a listen to that. And we speak about good manners and why they're necessary, and then we're very mannerly enough to take a lot of calls from listeners. It's all on the way. Get ready, strap in. It is the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show podcast.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
Will that do?
Yes. I love walking up the aisle.
Are you going to do a story or just listen to the music?
I'm listening to this because I had to learn this in school. This was on my...
On your piano? Could I get the keyboard in now and you can play that?
Probably, yeah.
Okay,
the do's and don'ts, everybody. These are for wedding guests.
Yeah, okay.
The wedding season is amongst us, everybody. Actually, what's the date today?
Today is the... I hate when you do that. The 8th of July.
Okay, phew. So my wedding anniversary is on Friday.
Is it?
12th of July, yeah.
Ah, well, you won't be here, so let us all say happy wedding anniversary.
Thank you.
Many years?
I think it's about 10. We're together 20 years. Ah. I know, he is lucky. Okay, this is with the photos, everybody. So the do's and don'ts. Oh, take your own photos, but be discreet.
Right, on your phone, yeah.
Don't annoy the official photographer by asking them to take photos for you.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Or photobombing the couple.
That's not good.
So the photographer is trying to get pictures of the bride and groom as they walk up the aisle and then get to the very top of the church. And then all the ladies or men jump out and start taking the photos.
There's some photographers say don't have your phone in the wedding, like if you're in a church or whatever, because it's just so annoying. Because then you see the lovely black and white.
I just love weddings.
You're getting old.
No,
gooey.
I do. No, but even hearing the music, I just love them. It's just such a lovely day, I think. Such a happy time.
Till the
event.
For
other guests, everybody, mingle.
Mingle.
Make small talk.
Yeah.
If you're stuck for things to do, compliment somebody's dress, hat or shoes.
Ah, okay.
Nobody really wears a hat. I'm not even going to wear a hat when I'm mother of the bride.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Because you're already thinking of that.
Don't take over a table, Colm Hayes, shouting and getting drunk. Or be a bore by relating
Lucy Kennedy
the couple's past indiscretions to everybody.
Can I ask you?
I remember when she was with.
Do you know on the tables? Are you one of these people that think the tables should be people who all know each other, or
no,
should it
I think
be
it's good to
should
put
it be
it
a
in
dolly
a mix.
Mixture?
Yeah, a mix.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, but you have to be careful. I mean, it is a lot of politics. I think.
Oh, God, yeah.
All weddings.
Yeah.
So you got to put people beside each other that you know will get on.
Yeah.
And then you just put in like one. You know, nobby guests.
That's the big bit, isn't it? When you're planning that, who's going to sit beside you and we're going to... Yeah.
This is one of the reasons we got married in Italy was because the weather, it's private.
Yeah.
And we could eliminate the people that we didn't really want. So we needed 80 at our wedding, but they were people that we loved. So when I looked down the church, every single person there I loved.
Thanks, I wasn't there.
No, you weren't. Nope. That's what I just said. Every single person there I loved.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's okay.
Social media, ask permission before posting pictures of the bride and groom.
Yeah.
It's awful when you see somebody's wedding picture before they've even shown it to you.
Yeah, that's rude. Yeah,
it is very rude.
And little mentions or any little funny things, little comments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't cover your social media with couples' pictures. Next, children, leave them at home.
Well, I don't know.
Leave them at home is the general advice. Yeah. Don't bring them.
I like children at
our
wedding.
I like children. Yeah. And my best pals, they had their babies at our wedding and they made it. You know, running around at the dance floor.
Yeah, it's a bit funny. I mean, look at any great movie where there's a wedding. There's always kids in it doing something funny.
Always.
Yeah.
And finally, turn up on time before the bride. Don't. What? What did you do?
Nothing.
Don't arrive after the bride. It's awful. There they are at the top of the church. He's taking the veil off her hair. And then clunk.
Sorry about this.
Yeah, the back door. People rustling. Shh, sorry, I'm so sorry. rustling and bustling, click, 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 heels.
Yeah.
Get there
yeah.
before the bride. Hazy, what did you do?
I've done that a few times. I'm just wondering how...
You arrived after the bride?
Well...
That is yeah. almost like a criminal offence.
It was treated like it was a criminal offence as
they
well.
They were yeah. right? Yeah, why were you late?
Yeah, it's because I generally can't be late. I didn't think this whole thing on time was going to be on time. Aren't they meant to be...
So
isn't the bride
the
meant to be unseasonable?
Guy at the wedding.
Aren't they meant to be unseasonably late yourself when you're getting married?
Well, 4 minutes.
4 minutes? God, my sister-in-law...
I was maybe 4 minutes just because of the heat.
My sister-in-law was 25 minutes late.
No, I wouldn't wait yeah. for a bride. How late has anybody been, actually? Let us know, 0871818100. How late have you been? What have you seen in terms of, like, bad etiquette at a wedding? What have you done? Yeah. Have you gay-crushed a wedding like Hazy? Or are you the boring guy at the table like Hazy?
I just remember as well when my brother was getting married and my sister-in-law was so unseasonably late, it was about 20, 25 minutes. Now they're getting married in a registry office, right? My mother stood in the door and wouldn't let the register out. She was going, no, he's getting married! And she actually forced him. And he was going, I have to go
Fran
now.
Fran got quite aggressive yeah. that day, I think.
I have to do another wedding, he was shouting. And she was going, you are going nowhere!
Hazy, I've just had a brilliant idea.
Oh.
Why don't you and Anne renew your vows?
I think we did at 4 a.m. the other morning over welly boots.
No, seriously. Then yeah. we can go to a wedding.
Well, we don't need to review our vows. We didn't get married in a church or anything.
So let's go for the church this time for you.
No.
Peace! I know a brilliant wedding planner.
No!
Hazy's getting married!
He's
getting married again, I'm going to cry. Let's play the music.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
Thank you. Okay, guys, these are the secrets. I'm going to analyse the dreams, the naughty dreams you guys have been having, right?
Oh.
This is not for younger listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever dreamt about getting it on with a celebrity?
Yes.
Who?
Salma Hayek.
Oh, no, so at work when I'm here.
You'd love that. Salma Hayek.
Salma Hayek, you
Salma
say?
Hayek. And I think also... No, I think that was it. I need to be careful. Morning, Anne.
Morning, Anne. Okay, well, sometimes it just means you really fancy the pants off that person.
Okay, yeah.
But it's more likely that it's about the quality you most associate with that famous person.
Ah, yes.
Salma Hayek.
Mexican food.
Is it Mexican food or is it her jobs?
No, I love Mexican food.
Okay, and how you may have the opportunity to display it too. So you need to get a Mexican stand.
Okay.
A food stand.
A Mexican food stand. Pat Kenny, that's yours, isn't it?
Yeah, we can't talk about that
okay,
yet.
No, we leave
I get very distracted and I can't read.
You do, don't you?
You're also becoming more intimately aware of your own talents and resources. You have the power to make something happen for your future, okay? The dream about getting it on with a celebrity is also about sharing the spotlight on your own hidden talents, Hazy.
So I've always wanted to open up a Mexican burrito stand.
Yeah.
So that's what that's saying.
That's what that's saying, exactly.
Okay, brilliant.
Getting it on in a car or on it.
Ew.
The dream shows that there is something you want to achieve and that you're becoming aware that you have the capacity to drive this forward.
Oh.
If you're on a bus.
A bus?
Shh.
They like the number 16, eh?
Or a train. Then there's something in your waking that's taking you forward, perhaps a new project.
Wow.
Keep an eye on that. If you need the help of others to reach the destination, don't be afraid to ask.
Now, this is... When you say on a bus and a train, you're doing the hiddly-diddlies.
Yeah.
On the bus and the train. Okay, got it.
This is all now if you dream of these things, telling you what
they
mean.
Not actually really doing them, but just dreaming about them.
Well, each to their own.
Yes, exactly.
If you are getting it on and you're dressed inappropriately.
Now, what would that be like, inappropriately?
Okay, certain outfits have specific meanings.
Oh.
A military uniform suggests that you're taking yourself way too seriously.
Okay.
Often this happens when you feel that you have to follow certain rules or do something a certain way. It means you should try to give yourself some freedom.
Right, okay.
But if you're dressed as a clown, this means that you want to be taken more seriously.
Oh, okay. Is there somebody
Finally.
Out there? No, just to say, is there
what?
Somebody out there that
No,
actually...
I don't want any more swing suggestions for my anniversary.
No. Is there somebody out there that actually had a dream about having hoo-ha as they were dressed as a clown?
I'm not going to lie to you. I've never been dressed as something in a dream.
Yeah. But if you would specifically remember having a dream dressed as a clown, having hoo-ha with another clown, please text.
Yeah, okay.
Go on, Coco. Text us now.
Getting it on in a public place.
Ah, no.
This could mean you need to get rid of something, to flush something away in order to fulfill something in your waking life. It might be that you know you can achieve something, but you're too ashamed of sharing the idea with other people because you're worried it'll make you look silly.
Oh.
That's why you dream of getting it on.
Outdoorsies.
Public place.
And the proof behind this, is there
and
logic
finally,
behind this? Oh, there's another one. Oh, Jesus.
Good morning, Kevin. If you dream of getting it on with your boss.
What does that mean? Come on. There's a huge pause there. Something happened. Something happened.
This dream is actually about power and authority.
Oh.
And the ability to make your own decisions.
Wow.
You're giving yourself permission to be yourself and realizing that the power is recognized by other people.
Jeez.
For example, when Barack Obama was elected as US president, yeah, lots of people reported having dreams about him.
Of course.
Yes, he's a handsome man, like Kevin. But it's also the symbolism of power and authority that makes us dream of political figures.
Okay.
So if you're dreaming about our boss, Kevin Brannigan, it means you need to start making your own decisions.
Or if you're dreaming about your own boss in your own company.
Yeah.
Any boss.
Like, who's your boss? Oh, no, it's Kevin as well.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
It's time for Our Man at the Movies, brought to you by Manhattan Popcorn, Ireland's favourite popcorn. Go to manhattan.ie.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Clint.
It's Our Man at the Movies, Clint.
This is one of those rare occasions.
Yeah?
In the history
of
this segment.
Okay.
Where we have all seen the movie at exactly the same time.
Yes, we did.
That great Wednesday, wasn't it?
This has never happened before. You're not realising the significance of it.
We saw Bumblebee together.
No, but I've seen that before.
Oh, okay.
And you're bloody blah.
Yeah.
This is a big moment.
Ah, okay.
I feel like it was. I feel like you're staring at me quite intensely now. Yeah.
It was an effort to get there, mind you.
Mm.
I don't really enjoy seeing a film with either of you.
Oh,
no, I kind of feel the same.
Please don't sit on the fence. Yeah. So.
No. I'm just like, it's.
But why? I gave you my popcorn.
You were very good, yes. You needed a specific amount of popcorn and Maltesers.
Yeah. Are you saying I was a little bit diva-ish?
The other side of the table needed a specific amount of alcoholic beverage.
Yes,
thank you.
And I feel that could
spoil. Feel like we were work. it was work, it wasn't pleasure.
No, it wasn't that. It was just that I need to be more prepared.
Yeah,
for going to film,
yes.
Because it put you off us long term.
Yeah. No,
you're the reviewer, so you take your little notebook and take notes all the time. While old shiny knees over there.
Shiny knees.
I still don't believe this. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about Annabelle Comes Home. We had the lovely visit from Annabelle last week. She came to Radio Nova. Yeah. If you haven't seen that, check it out on our Facebook and on YouTube.
Instagram.
It's very, very funny.
Call me Sikai.
And this is the third film in the Annabelle series, the 100th in the Conjuring universe. And I love the Conjuring universe because it's introduced us to The Nun, which was a brilliant film.
Yep. I still want to see that.
It's introduced us to Annabelle. And this takes the story into the direction where Ed and Lorraine, they're the people, the Warrens, are a real-life couple, which you found very hard to believe, Lucy.
I did.
They're a real-life couple who go and hunt ghosts and mysterious forces and take them away. They're a real-life couple that the Conjuring series is based on.
La 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 la.
So the film starts with them finally getting hold of Annabelle and then having to take her home and lock her in the basement where they keep all the other scary things.
Yeah.
Here's a little taste of Annabelle.
Everything you see in here is either haunted, cursed, or has been used in a ritualistic practice. Sometimes it's better to keep the genie in the bottle.
I let her out.
Who?
Annabelle.
And, of course, Annabelle doesn't stay in that basement for very long. The 10-year-old daughter of the house needs a babysitter.
Mm.
Mum and Dad go off on a lovely night out, and then all hell breaks loose. And poor Bobby, the potential boyfriend.
He was the highlight of the movie.
He was
the highlight because there wasn't many highlights in this movie.
I got to say, wasn't many highlights.
Yeah.
Allegedly, I fell asleep during this film.
You fell asleep. There's no allegedly.
No, I don't remember falling asleep.
At one point, I thought you were dead.
Yeah. In fairness, you drooled on Shiny Knee's legs.
I didn't drool on
her. On her shoulder.
A little bit. No, you didn't drool. You didn't drool, but...
But I was asleep.
Yeah, you were for about 30 deeply. Seconds, yeah.
30 seconds? Yeah. Like, that's a micro nap. You never do that when you're driving.
It was an Aussie snore.
Jesus.
No, you were very quiet, but I did think you were dead. But it was a strange thing because basically you were just beside me and definitely asleep. And then within 2 seconds you went, oh, this is a good bit.
So I was.
Had you had a premonition?
Yeah. Maybe I did. Yeah. Well, actually, falling asleep during this film would have been better than watching it.
Yeah, I'm with you, Clint.
I've got to say, I mean, I love, like I said, I love The Conjuring. I loved The Nun. I used to love Annabelle. Annabelle scared the pants off me and my cousin Michaela when we first saw The Conjuring all those years ago.
Annabelle's a baby.
No, no, she's terrifying. Yeah. But she's done now. I'm sorry, Lucy. This was a dreadful film. There was more laughter than the frights.
There was, I noticed
that. We were laughing
at the
awful puns and the bad acting.
Yeah. So sadly, I'm going to give it... Well, I'm going to give it 2 stars
because I
saw the film with 2 stars.
Oh, look at him. Huh?
That is so insincere.
Yeah, and that's true. I just don't want to do it again.
We'll get him later.
I would like to give it -1.
Yeah. -1? You can't go negative
stars. I
thought
it was awful. And look, we all know I've presented a lot of junk and I watch a lot of junk.
Jeez,
but I really
which one?
No, but you know, my taste wouldn't be great, and even I wasn't impressed.
But you were into this; you were really because you
I
love
was
Annabelle.
Yes. Well, I mean, I felt like I'd given birth to Annabelle prior to the show, but I think that probably ruined things for me as well.
Maybe.
Because I'd met the doll.
No, it's not a doll, this.
Well, sorry.
-1. I would say 1. I would give a 1 just for humor, but it felt
For Bobby, you liked Bobby.
It felt like Night at the Museum meets the Muppets.
It felt like the date that wouldn't end for all of us.
Yes, it really did. But the pizza was good, thank you to
Warner
Brothers.
The pizza was so good,
So, 2 stars.
2 stars.
-1 over there, and
the
1 over
here. The wine was quite good as well.
The wine was lovely.
Asshole bugger lugs over here.
Jeez. Anyway, that's showing now, is it? If you want to see it.
If you really want to. If you're really desperate.
Run! Tickets will go so quickly.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
Paul Howard's in the building.
Great to be here.
How's it going?
It's always a pleasure.
It's always good to see you because you're actually always in good form.
He is. He's the happiest person I know.
Yeah. No. Behind the mask.
He's a psycho freak.
I'm here to tell you my story about the clown when the clown makeup comes off.
The other Paul.
He's a psycho.
Yeah.
We heard that too.
Actually, can you mention the book? Or is that okay to mention?
Yeah, I can mention the book.
Because you were just saying that you've got a book.
Is it just as well as okay to mention? Do you know what I mean? Like, you could have asked him before we went on air. Why do people do that?
Well, if he said no, it would make the mystery even deeper.
I have 2 books coming out in the autumn. I've got the new Ross book, which is called Schmidt Happens.
Yeah.
And I've got, I've written a children's book with Gordon Darcy.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
We worked on it together. Yeah, it's called Gordon's Game.
Right.
And it's coming out in October.
What age group would that be now?
It's for kind of 8 to 12 year olds.
My little boy would be right up that street now.
Okay. And Gordon Darcy, like a rugby player. Everyone just
loves Gordon.
And you were saying great story behind it as well.
Amazing story. I mean, it's a perfect story really for a children's book because it's kind of, you know, it's a story of, you know, getting everything too young.
Yeah.
And then... maybe going to his head a little bit,
right,
and then going back and rediscovering the value of hard work.
Oh,
and,
very good. Yeah,
and there's a nice little moral.
Yeah, that is good. That's a good story for children. Good message. Because when I asked my son Jack, who's 9.5, what do you want to be, he says a famous footballer. They're all just obsessed.
A famous footballer.
See, it's a famous footballer.
Yeah.
It's the famous bit that worries me a little bit.
Yeah.
I just
work.
I just wanted to be a footballer. I didn't even make that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Never
so you were cursed with the glasses, you know?
I was. Just before we go to Copperface Jacks, because we're saying the new book, The Ross with Carol Kelly. How long does it take you to come up with a title? And do you come up with the title first and then the book?
Sometimes, like, so some of the books, like Namma Mia, I knew about 2 years before Namma Mia. I was going to write
brilliant.
A book
genius.
Called Namma Mia.
Yeah.
I knew the Oh My God Delusion, the same thing.
Yeah.
This one, Schmidt Happens, it took ages. And it was called, I mean, it was called various things along the way. And that's often happened with the Ross books, like that I'll have a title. And it'll be just... There was a book a few years ago, one of my books was called Keeping Up the Kalashnikovs.
Yes.
And right up until about a week before it was printed, it was called Raiders of the Lost Dork.
Really?
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. Okay. And we changed it very, very late in the day. Yeah. So I think I'm allowed to say it's called Schmidt Happens. I don't think it's going to change again because I think
How
it's going to the
printers
next week. This is the 19th Ross O'Carroll.
Wow.
Oh, my
in
God. 19
years. I remember interviewing...
Book a year.
Yeah, book a year.
I remember interviewing you a couple of years ago on one of the other radio stations when you just hit 1 million sales.
Yeah, that's right,
And that was so there must be well above that at this stage.
Yeah, I think it's about 1.2 or 1.3 million.
Could you not buy a new shirt, maybe?
Excuse me.
I've been in that shirt before.
State of your shirt.
I haven't sold a million books yet.
Well, listen, this is all part of the act where I pretend to be humble. As soon as I get out of here, you'll want to see the clobber. I'll be walking down to my
19D Merc outside.
And the
James
driver.
Yeah.
And his Gucci tracksuit is in the lobby. I'd love to see you in a Gucci tracksuit. Okay.
You're about the only one who will.
Yeah, there is another. Okay, let's talk about the musical. What a success it is.
Yeah, it's really exciting to be back with it as well. You know, we had so much fun with it last summer. We got such a young cast. They're all in their 20s, like, you know. I used to, like, when I used to write something for the theatre, I used to actually go out afterwards to celebrate with the cast. Yeah. Now I feel like their father, like. They're all sort of 25 years younger than me.
Yeah.
But they're a brilliant cast. And anyone who saw the musical last summer will know just how good they are. But to keep them all together,
yeah,
I think that's a kind of reflection
came back.
Of how much they enjoyed it.
Because they were saying to have Johnny's success, his stars, wasn't obviously with the Dancing with Stars.
I love Michelle.
And they're great
Michelle's
people.
Amazing.
Yeah. Actually,
she's
Michelle
amazing.
Was in here with us last year. She's really good as well.
Yeah.
So to get that cast again. And it's Copperface Jacks, the musical. Again, when was the first moment you thought? Was it when you fell out of Coppers at 6 a.m?
I fell out of Coppers many, many nights. My whole 20s were spent in Coppers.
Were they?
Yes. Well, I couldn't get into Reynard's or Lily's or any of those places.
The shirt.
It just didn't. It was partly the shirt.
The shirt alone. And the shirt is pretty nice, by the way, guys.
I'm going to have to take a picture.
I'm going to leave you the shirt afterwards. But I couldn't get into Lily's and Reynard.
Yeah.
And not because I was trouble-like, you know.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, the bouncers just look you up and down and kind of go, you're not going to enhance anyone's night.
Oh, no.
You know that look? Like, you're not trouble.
You're not going to add to it at all.
You're not going to hurt anyone.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
not going to be drunk.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know.
It's not really for you. Yeah,
it's not your kind of place.
Yeah, it's
you
not
know?
You at
aesthetically,
all.
You're going to add
And
nothing.
Would they just point up the road and go, Coppers.
Sometimes they would. I was turned away from Reynard's one night before I'd even crossed the road. Right?
Oh, no.
And the bouncer shouted, "Don't even bother!" And I just turned around.
Yeah.
And he knew I was going to pretend I wasn't heading for there.
No,
but
that's so embarrassing.
I turned
the
around
lady friend.
And I went up. No, I was alone actually.
Oh,
you know,
God.
And that's even worse. But anyway, but Coppers. The great thing about Coppers, one of the greatest.
Everybody.
It's a camaraderie.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah,
you
yeah,
could
is.
Be wearing an Offaly jersey
yeah. Yes.
and you
and
could
runners.
Be with 15 drunk lads all wearing Offaly jerseys
yeah.
and you will
yeah.
all get into
Also, you're
face
pretty
jacks.
Much guaranteed a snog.
I mean, you get a hug off a bouncer on the way out.
You know,
if you don't get a snog. The shift, as they call it.
The shift.
You can say to the bouncer,
shift.
I didn't get a shift. Go over there to Malcolm. He gives you the extra shift. but it is an institution. Bless, it's up for sale at the moment. Has it sold at this stage?
Oh,
I don't think so. No.
Yeah.
I mean, I
can only hope they don't change it. You know?
They'd be crazy
change it.
To change it.
But does it still do good business?
Oh, it does, yeah. I mean, it's packed out every. I mean, the other great thing about it is, it doesn't have those sort of peak nights that other clubs have where, you know, some clubs have like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, their big nights.
Yeah.
Coppers, because the clientele are, you know, they're teachers, they're guards, they're nurses. The guards and nurses, there's a lot of sort of shift work involved.
Yeah, literally.
More than, literally shift work. Shifting work and shift work.
Yeah.
So they come off a shift and, you know, there could be like 150 nurses in there on the night, like, you know. And actually, happily, they all commit to Coppers, the musical as well. So,
of course they
do. Oh, do they? Do they all come dressed up as nurses and guards?
No, they're heading on. They come dressed for a night out afterwards.
Ah.
Yeah.
So one night we had Sun Drive Road Gardaí were in,
brilliant.
And there was 32 of them in the first couple of rows.
God, I love guards. I think
and they were
generally
heading on
attractive.
Afterwards. They were heading on to Copperface Jacks. There was a gang of nurses in another night. About 30 of them from Donegal.
See, Johnny was in his element.
He was, and dressed to kick on, drinking Jaeger bombs at 7:05
Brilliant.
In the bar in the Olympia.
Oh, you see, these are the girls I love. These are the girls I want to be friends with.
I've been in Coppers a couple of times, and I remember, but never sober, obviously. And I remember,
did you ever gig there? Did they have like
no,
a resident
no, never
DJ?
Gigged there. Yeah. But I remember somebody once asked me, "Oh, Coppers, where we'll go up there? Where is it?" And I'd say, "I don't know where it is.
Yeah.
I've never arrived sober. It was always you arriving at." Taxi or in a rickshaw or something.
Yeah.
Well, it's in the middle of Harker Street, but for years I didn't actually know.
It's hard to pick it out. And the other thing about it is nobody plans to go there.
No.
Like, you'll never meet anyone who'll say, "Oh, I'm thinking of going to Coppers on Friday." People end up, you say, I ended up in Coppers last night. Exactly. It's always a kind of afterthought, you know.
Yes.
And when somebody says, we ended up in Coppers last night, it's kind of, you know,
it
signifies a certain type of mayhem.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yes. Because it's also a word on its own, because somebody come into work and you go, geez, look at the head on you, and they'll just go, Coppers.
Yeah.
And that's it.
It means so much.
Absolutely. No necessary explanation after saying Coppers.
So it's the Olympia Theatre. Coppers. It's the Olympia Theatre, 10th of July till 10th of August. I'm going to play a quick track and then we're going to do the last five questions you'll ever be asked. I know it sounds ominous. It's on the way.
No, I got them in advance. It's fine.
Oh, you're not going to say that.
Riding it out like a bird in the sky. Riding it out like you were a bird. Ride it all out like an eagle in a sunbeam. Ride it all out like a you were a bird. Wear a tall hat like the druid in the old days. Wear a tall hat and a tattooed gown. Ride a white swan like the people of a Beltane. Wear your hair long, babe, you can't go wrong. A bright star in a place on your forehead. Say a few spells and baby, there you go. Take a black cat and sit it on your shoulder, and in the morning you'll know all you know.
Radio Nova, it's the Colin and Lucy Breakfast Show. Paul Howard is here with us. And of course, just to say, Copperface Jacks, the musical, 10th of July to the 10th of August. 4 full weeks, really.
4 weeks, yeah.
A lot of foreigners do. A lot of foreigners, when I mean tourists around, would they go to it as well?
Yeah, they do. I mean, I'm not really sure if they get what Copperface Jacks is. They certainly do by the end of the show, because they realise as they're watching it, right, Copperface Jacks is about floor-filling tunes.
Yeah.
It's about laughter. It's about lousy chat-up lines. Yeah. It's about people from different cultural backgrounds meet each other, Dublin and Kerry, for instance. Yeah. You know,
I mean, it really is. It's Riverdance with cider.
Yeah.
I
described it as West Side Story with Carvery.
There you go. Okay. We're going to ask you the last five questions you'll ever be asked. I don't know where Lucy's gone. Lucy's disappeared. But she's got this big. Oh, there she is.
You guys bitching about me.
She has. We were just a little bit bitching about you while you weren't here.
Oh, hey, when that happens.
So.
You can listen back to it later.
Listen back to it later.
You were fired.
It was award winning. So anyway, it's the Colm and Paul show now.
Oh, I see. This is what happens when you go to the loo. This is what happens.
As always, our guests, we ask you the last five questions you've ever been asked or ever will be asked. First off, number five, the last movie you watched.
Stan and Ollie.
Oh, okay.
Stan and Ollie.
Is it good?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
It's a beautiful film. I mean, it's not the greatest film I ever saw, but the two performances, Steve Coogan and John C. Reilly.
A few people have said that.
They will break your heart in it, you know? I mean, Steve Coogan is
a genius.
He is a genius, but I don't think he gets the credit he deserves for his acting. He's an absolutely brilliant actor. Yeah. And it's not just an impersonation he does in this. It's proper acting. He's brilliant, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Steve Coogan could be a friend of ours in real life. I feel like we could drink with him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the Irish in him, you see.
Yeah, oh, of course.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, the last takeaway that you ate.
The last takeaway I ate was last Thursday night.
Wow.
I was too lazy to cook. And we got McDonald's. I got a fillet of fish burger.
Oh, wow. Who gets a fillet of fish?
That's it. Paul Howard does.
I do. And actually, you know, it's all computerized in McDonald's. Yeah. Yeah, you know, yeah. When I press the fillet of fish, you know, it says, "Are you sure?" Because even the computer thinks, "Who orders a fillet of fish? Who orders a fillet of fish?"
Brilliant.
And then you can hear people muttering behind the counter, yeah, like,
going, "Jesus, take the fish, take the fish out of the freezer."
Bell rings in the kitchen and everything. I love the fillet of fish.
I can't believe they still make them.
The guy goes out with a fishing rod.
Fish fingers and a bit of mayo.
Like my shirt. I can't believe they still make those.
Okay, what time did you go to bed at last night?
I went to bed at 10:30 last night.
Good boy, that's good enough.
And I was in the gym, and I came home from the gym at 10:15. I've just joined a gym for the first time in my whole life.
Good boy. Okay.
And I was so tired, I collapsed into bed.
Face Jeez. First, sweaty piss in your little hot pants.
Yes.
Okay, what about the last time you wore a hat?
It's like you had a camera in the room.
When was the last time you wore a hat?
I have never worn a hat.
Wow.
Oh, come on.
I have never worn a hat. There's an old phrase I sometimes use. Yeah, it's not everyone suits a hat.
Okay. Yeah,
you have
true.
To know when you,
you
don't
have
suit
a hat.
A hat.
Yeah,
I put a flat cap on. I was at the Cliffs of Moher last year. I went into the shop. There was Skiddly Eye music on. Yeah. I was overcome by feelings of love for Ireland
era.
And traditional music.
Yeah.
I put a flat cap on. I looked in the mirror and I said,
"You're just like Michael Healy Ray. Big mistake.
You don't suit a flat cap."
Yeah. Okay.
Michael Healy Ray does suit a flat cap.
He's a very handsome man.
Yeah, well, he was actually born with it on, so he can't remove it.
Poor mum.
When was the last time? The last time you cried?
I don't cry a lot, but I did cry about 3 weeks ago when I thought my dog was going to have his toe amputated.
Oh, no.
And I not only cried, I crashed the car into a lamppost.
Jesus, no. You were that
outside
upset.
The vet. Yeah, you know, it was bawling my eyes out in the car,
But
I didn't care. I crashed the car into a lamppost.
Oh.
It was
about
1,500
about
euros worth of damage to the car.
Yeah.
And I didn't care.
He kept his toe.
He kept his toe, but they had to take it. He had a corn on his pad and it was so big he couldn't really walk. He's a basset hound. And his front paws are load-bearing, so he couldn't really walk with it. But they spliced it in Dunleary, and it's fixed now. It's all healed up.
Thank God he's okay.
I know why you cried.
Good to see you, and good luck with the musical and everything else you do, because whatever you touch, my friend, just turns to gold.
That's very kind of you to say.
Paul Hardwick, talk to you soon. Take care of yourself.
Thanks, Colm.
Okay.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
Okay, everybody. Stella McCartney has caused quite a stir by saying that you should never clean your clothes, as in wash your clothes.
Mm.
We all said she's just smelly. And the chances are she probably is.
Probably is, yeah.
She's a designer, so she believes that the clothes should be wiped rather than washed.
Wiped?
Yeah.
Like a baby wipe? Or just brushed?
Just a bit of water.
And that's it?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Kind of wipe rather than kind of scrub.
Yeah, okay.
So this got Antonia Hoyle into thinking, what should be washed and how often?
Okay.
Let's start with knickers and jocks.
Underpants.
How often would you wash your Speedos?
Well, I think every time you take them off.
Well, how often would you take them off?
Every day.
Yeah,
I would imagine.
Right.
Hang on, certainly for undergarments, I think a day's use is enough. Really,
I feel so.
After that, you know,
would you turn them inside out the next day to get day two out? A lot of guys do, apparently. A lot of guys apparently do. Would you?
No, that's a trick in university. It's one of the first things you learn when you go to university. When you move away from mammy and you're in university, the first thing people will tell you is, turn them inside out.
It's one of the first things you learn when you're 9. I've got to check the jocks wearing.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Unsurprisingly, all experts agree that your knickers and your underpants should be washed every day.
Yeah.
Anything that has close proximity to the groin area could get a buildup of bacteria.
Oh God.
Bras.
Hello?
Bras.
Okay, same thing really, isn't it?
Despite Stella McCartney basically saying that you shouldn't ever wash your bra, there are sweat glands under your armpits and near your boobies. Now, if you have very large boobies, they might be droopy. Yeah. So that means you get sweaty.
Like if you have a set of dollies.
If you have a set of dollies, or if you're slightly overweight, your boobs might droop. And that means that some women would have to pick up their boobs even in the bath to wash under them.
So
they can get a little bit sweaty. And of course, then if you're breastfeeding or whatever. Anyway,
I'm quite faint.
You should wash your bra after 1 to 3 wears.
So one go or 3 goes?
Yeah.
And would that be 3 goes day after day? Or is it you hang it up and maybe 3 days later you go back to another one?
You don't hang up a bra. Who hangs up a bra?
I don't know. I don't
but
wear
you
know a
what
bra.
You do with it?
What do you do with it?
You put it in your drawer.
But is it not the strap?
Who hangs up a bra?
Do you not get bra hangers? She's gone again.
I fell off my chair. No, you don't hang up your bra. You basically kind of, like, you put the cups into the other cup and then you just put it in your drawer.
Maybe it's an expression for supermodels.
My God, does anybody hang up their bra?
So maybe it's an expression for supermodels. Do you not think it's about time you hung up your bra, love?
Yes. Yes, there is a little bit of that. Page 3 models.
Okay, so you don't hang up your bra. So let's say you've got a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday bra. Can you wear the Monday bra and then pop it back on Wednesday?
Yes.
And then remove it on a Thursday? And
yes.
Okay, so that's fine.
Somebody says, I wear a man thong, very easy to wipe. Okay, part of me is actually just dyed.
Yeah.
Right, let's move on swiftly.
Please do.
Because we've done the kind of underwear section. How do you feel about that, Hazy? Are you
happy? I feel like Father Ted in that particular episode when he's trying to get out of the underwear section.
Okay, pajamas.
Oh.
Now, this shocked me with what this expert is saying.
Okay.
She says at least twice a week.
You got to wash them or wear them.
Few of us put on a fresh pair of pajamas every evening.
Oh, yeah.
But perhaps we should.
Well, I would
especially
imagine.
This is think of you now with the menopause.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if we're prone to hot flushes or night sweats. This could cause smells or staining.
Here we go. Oh, no. You said staining. Staining of the pajamas. No. This is just...
Bacteria can remain on a garment for 21 days if it's not cleaned.
So you could have stainage on your Superman pajamas.
Yeah.
And you're not washing them. But do people not just like have one or maybe two pairs of pajamas?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm telling you, people do. They just got
but
one or
pajamas,
two.
It's like a fiver for a nightie in pennies.
But people have their favourite little set of pajamas that they probably wear for 2 months.
Oh, Jesus.
Text in 087-1800.
No way. I would change my pajamas or a nightie, I'd say, every second day. But listen to this.
Yep.
Dr. Ackerley also adds that pajama bottoms need changing more regularly,
well,
right?
Yes.
But it does depend on whether you bathe before bed, which I often do. I'd often have a bath, kind of lube up, moisturise, get into bed. If you're clean before you put your pajamas on and don't go to the loo during the night.
Ah, right. God, this is
your pajamas
very...
could last 2 or 3 days, max.
This is very precise stuff, isn't it?
And finally, your jeans.
Wow.
And this upset me the most because I wash all of my jeans the whole time. Do you, Hazelnuts?
What do you mean, do I wash them? Yeah.
Do you wash your jeans?
Well, I'm in fairness...
How many wears until you wash?
In fairness, I'm not great at washing. So, and I'll put my hand up there. So, yeah, everything would get into the linen basket and then it magically gets washed.
But how often would you wash your jeans? Like, how often would you wear your jeans?
Get a couple of days out of a pair of jeans.
Like, three?
Yeah.
Would you wear the same jeans in a row?
Yeah, possibly.
Ew.
If it's just coming into work. Yeah, I know. But isn't that how jeans are made like that?
But would you not just maybe do like Monday, Thursday and...
No, maybe Monday, Tuesday and then change. Yeah. It's only get two. Two.
Okay, two. Right.
Yeah.
Well, apparently you should never, ever wash your jeans.
Ever? I've heard this before, actually.
You should never, ever wash them. And then other experts say you should wash them after every second wear. But apparently denim jeans should never be thrown into the wash. Ever.
Yes.
Instead, you could wash it in cold water with a few capsules of white vinegar.
Right.
To deodorize or break down the stains. Or you could put your jeans in the freezer overnight.
And the dirt breaks off.
Like, well, like, let's just say me, right? Like, I am not a dirty person.
No.
Like, I don't get mud on my jeans.
No, you don't.
So
you
why
don't.
Would I freeze them?
Okay, because some people do get mud on their jeans, or some people wear their jeans for work. And if you freeze them, right, when you take them out and you sort of crack them, all the dirt falls off and then they defrost and bada-bing, bada-bang, you've got a fresh pair of jeans.
But it makes them more softer when you wash them more often, I think.
See, jeans were actually originally created so that men could wear them for like 2 or 3 months in a row.
Oh, God, I've just
I know,
died.
When they were cutting down trees. This is going back to the 1850s. Cutting down
thongs.
Trees. Thongs.
Oh, no. Only joking.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
We're actually celebrating the launch of hashtag Scoop the Poop, which is a campaign at Maxi Zoo, Ireland's largest pet retailer. We've teamed up with the 5-star Muckers Park Hotel and the Reserve Apartments in the heart of Killarney National Park to give away a stay for family, and they take their furry friend with them as well, which is pretty cool.
Brilliant. A lot of places doing that now.
Yeah, it's a big business now as well.
Rightly so.
We took Rocky off to France, which was great.
Yeah. Yeah, like I don't know what it's like having an animal these days, but when we had a little dog, you know, we used to have to leave her. It was horrible.
Terrible.
So nice you can actually bring a little friend with you.
So they're encouraging you, just to say the Maxi Zoo are going to give away 1.5 million poop bags to support dog owners in keeping our parks and streets poop-free, which is important. And we've got a €100 Maxi Zoo gift voucher to give away. Now, there was a little bit of controversy yesterday that raged in the studio.
I was very angry because I was worried about our listeners because I felt that an ant was in fact an insect.
Yes.
And not a pet. Or an animal.
Well, an animal, because we said it's animal movies.
Yeah.
So that's why we've changed it
now. The rules. I'm so glad the rules were changed.
Changed the rules after...
I was very, very, very worried.
After a deep discussion, the rules have been changed. So what it is now is we'll be playing clips from a movie that in the title is a pet. Are you okay with that?
I'm not quite sure I understand the rules.
Okay.
What do you mean the title of a pet? Somebody's pet.
No. So
if I'm having problems understanding.
Here we go again. Okay.
So
the title of the movie,
yes,
right, will have a pet in it.
Yeah.
So let's say a type of pet.
A type of pet. Okay, that's different.
So it could be a fish called Wanda would have been good because a fish can be a pet. Yeah, we did that because I don't want to give away what we're doing. I'm just trying to explain to my Coco colleague.
You know, we did a fish called Wanda.
And ants. Technically, you can have an ant farm, so
yes,
you can
have pets. Yeah, exactly. But they're an insect, they're not an animal.
Can we park this now?
Yes. I think I understand the rules.
Morning, Colin.
Morning, how are you?
Not too bad.
Colin, okay. How are you?
Good, I'm good. I'm on my way into work. How are you guys keeping, all right?
We're all good. We're all good. Are you clear on the rules now?
Not really, no. I'm not as clear as Lucy is on the rules. We'll give it a lash.
Let's wing it together.
Okay, well, look. You're going to hear a clip from a movie, right?
Right, so we just play Guess the Movie. How about that?
A great name for the competition.
Yes, that's much easier.
Guess the Movie. Jeez. Yeah. Okay, can we have you at our future production meetings? Yeah?
Yes, please.
Definitely. I'll sit in on them, no problem.
Okay, here we go. Guess the Movie. Have a listen to this clip.
Right, go. Bark all day. Little doggy, or are you
going to
bite?
Oh, that's one of my favourites. That's Reservoir Dogs all day long.
He's got it! Well done!
Well done!
Yeah.
Okay.
That was painless.
And sorry, Jay, who was on the line there. That's painless. You've got yourself a €100 Maxi Zoo gift voucher, and also you're in the draw for that weekend away down to the Munkers Park Hotel. Do you have a little furry friend?
Funny enough, I used it up until not so long ago, so the voucher isn't really much use to me, but I'll find somebody who does.
Wow, what happened?
We had a little kitty cat called Heidi.
Yeah.
And she just didn't make it, I suppose, would be the best way to put it at this time of year.
Oh, sorry to hear
I know. It is. It's still tough to talk about, but having you guys on the line comforting me is making it so much easier.
Well, I tell you what. So if you don't, the voucher isn't much good and it'll only bring back bad memories. Will we give it away again?
No. Give it to the next caller that's on the line who has a pet, so.
There you go. Okay, listen, thanks very much for that, man.
And no,
you're in the draw anyway for the weekend away.
Cool. Yeah. And maybe you could just, you know, bump me up towards the top of the draw.
Yeah, I think I will, because I break all the rules.
All right. Oh, Colin.
That was Colin Hazy.
Sorry, Jay.
Colin, thanks so much.
Yes. Jay, how are you?
Hi, how are things?
Do you have a little furry friend?
I do. I have two dogs, yes.
Are they alive?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
So
that was just poor Collins.
So I'm going to play.
I know.
I'm going to play a clip from this movie. It's the only one I've got. And if you guess the movie, you can have the €100 voucher. Okay. So have a listen.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Okay. What are you thinking, Jay?
Yeah, I'd have a guess. I'd say it's Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
Wow. Well done, you.
And with thanks to our previous caller, Colin, you have a €100 Maxi Zoo gift voucher, and also you're in the draw as well, yeah?
Yeah.
Perfect.
There you go. Well, that's it. You have yourself a great day.
Yeah, cool, thanks.
All right, God bless.
Oh, and remember to hashtag scoop the poop, folks, and get yourself a scoop bag, or poop bag, or scoop poop bag, down in Maxi Zoo, okay?
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
Ah, we have a first world problem on our hands,
we
folks.
We do, everybody.
We need a solution.
So 1 in 4 adults don't say thank you, and instead they use words like cheers.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is good enough. And the boys, I think that I've turned into Mrs. Bouquet.
I think so, yeah. I think
thank you was just so important. I spent my life saying to my children, say thank you, say thank you, say thank you.
But is it, in a less casual way, is it okay just to go, cheers, mate, or that's all right? you know.
What do you mean? That's all right? Why would you say that's all right in an English accent or something?
That's all right, thanks. All right, thanks. Do you know what I mean? Like, thank you is very formal.
Thank you.
No, but it's very, very formal.
Like, I'm very good at saying thank you, aren't I? Please and thank you.
Do you say thank you to the barman?
Of course I would.
You wouldn't say cheers, mate. Thanks for that.
No, I'd say thank you.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All the time. And would you say thank you, sir, or thank you, lady?
No, I wouldn't. I'd just say thank you.
Do you ever use dude, mate, or pal?
No. Thank you, pal.
Yeah, some people do. All right, pal.
Thank you, pal. Thank you, mate. No.
I have a guy that says mate all the time. I have another guy, when he emails, he goes dude.
No.
I have another one, actually. And when he emails, he says guy. All right, guy. How are you doing, guy? And he does that to everybody he's talking to.
Male and female.
Yes, it'll be all right, guy. Thanks, guy. And there's another one.
Oh, that would really annoy me. I'd have to say something. I would have to say something.
He knows who he is. He's probably listening, actually.
Hi, guy.
He's in the music business. And it's always, hi, guy. All right, guy. Sorry, guy. Wow, guy. And
so he doesn't use your name?
No.
So
no.
Rude.
No. The top of the email will be column. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, guy. Can you play this, guy? Thanks, guy. And then there's another guy that who's dude all the time.
Oh my God, he's even asking for requests.
Yeah.
Songs on the radio, and he's not even using your name.
Well, no, he's technically asked me to play some of the bands that he's promoting. Yeah, yeah. And then, yeah. So
he works at MCD.
No.
It's not Guy from MCD, is it?
That'd be funny, wouldn't it? Guy Cynic. Good morning, Guy. No, it's not Guy. Guy wouldn't go, hi, this is Guy. Anyway, Guy, would you like to... No, it's not Guy. Guy.
Clint, what are your thoughts? Because you're a very polite Australian boy.
I don't mind a cheers in an email.
Yeah.
What about cheers in real life?
Cheers in real life, it's an acknowledgement. It's fine. I wouldn't be upset with the cheers. You'd be very upset.
I'm a little bit upset with cheers, yeah.
Like yesterday, the other day when you generously gave us a gift from one of our friends, I said thank you and Colm didn't.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you were very quick to announce that I had said thank you.
Yeah.
And Colm had not.
Yeah, he doesn't really say thank you that much.
I do. In fairness, I'm a very polite individual.
I need to talk to Fran.
But I have different ways of doing it. So, like, from that little gift, I probably go, oh, tell her thanks, cheers.
No, you didn't say thanks. Yeah, you didn't say anything.
Did I not? Okay.
No.
Okay. Will you tell her I said thanks?
You just went, yeah, just looked at the wine and just put it on your desk.
So... when you finish it, so let's say you're writing an email, right?
Yeah.
Kind regards. Kind regards.
A bit stuffy now.
I always go kind regards.
That's a bit stuffy.
Yeah, but that's generally to a stranger, but it's usually lots of love.
What if you don't love them?
I love most people.
I know, but like in a professional sense, you can't.
Kind regards.
Yeah, but then that's a bit stuffy.
Or I do love Lucy. I do love Lucy smiley face. Love Lucy, but no kisses.
Hang on, you do kisses now.
Yeah. Oh no, I do kisses to most people. I've done kisses to like really inappropriate. Yeah.
Well, see, I never knew.
By mistake.
I never knew the rules. So when I started doing the kisses, I do one big X and three little X's.
You can't do big X's.
But
now.
I do one big X and one little X.
But that'd be to even mates, guy, dude.
Oh, that's weird.
I know.
No, you can't. I don't think a big X is allowed. A small X is okay.
Yeah,
okay.
but if you're on your phone, the big X comes first. So I go da da big X little
but
X.
Any more than one X, and then you're going to get in trouble.
You feel it's a little bit
saucy.
So
second X is saucy. How many three X's?
Oh, three X's is...
Three X's is putting out your stall.
Yeah.
Showing too much frontage under your signage.
I think I've sent the boss three X's. Yeah, so that meeting's going on tomorrow. XXX.
Yeah, no.
I wouldn't say XXX to Kevin, which...
I need to be careful with me X's.
You know you need to be careful with your X's.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, let us know, guys. Is there some kind of etiquette? Are you supposed to...
There has to be an etiquette.
Are you not supposed to do the kiss?
What are your rules when you do it?
Yeah,
my rules are two X's. One big, one little. Keep it simple.
And your rules is always thank you, regardless.
Thank you. But this is how you're supposed to say thank you properly, right?
Yeah.
Saying thank you is very simple. In fact, it's so easy, and it's amazing that so many people get it wrong, hazelnuts.
Yeah.
Or fail to do it at all.
Yeah.
Hazelnuts. There are just four important steps to saying thank you effectively and successfully in person.
Okay.
Make eye contact.
Yes.
It's very important if you want to appear sincere. Why are you both
staring at me? They're all just staring at each other for a second.
Smile. Speak in a clear, friendly voice.
Thank you.
And be specific. What exactly you thank them for.
All right, okay. Yeah.
Thank you for your help with that. Thank you for your thoughtfulness. Thank you for the delicious dinner. Thank you for giving me a lift today. You've got to be very specific.
Come on, you're not going to go through all that.
See,
for
actually,
God
that sounds
sake.
Insincere to
yeah,
me.
It does, it does.
No, these are just examples.
Yeah. Thank you
for being so thoughtful.
Yeah. No, that's like the restaurants. Yeah, have
but
a
Clint,
nice day.
I said, remember,
they don't care.
Remember yesterday, was it yesterday or the day before, you ran to the Gibson to get me a needle and thread because I had boobage action.
Yeah.
In my dress before the Virgin Media thing.
Yep. Yes.
And I said, thank you so much for doing that.
Yes.
In fairness, later
that wasn't
on.
Sincere.
No, in fairness, later on, you felt you hadn't thanked him enough.
I did. Yeah. I said to Hazy, I said.
I don't think I thanked him.
I don't think I thanked him enough.
You may have a problem.
Oh, I think you might have the problem.
No. As in, you might do too much.
Oh, you think I do too much, thank you.
Yeah, okay. You might do too
much. I don't think you can ever do too much.
No, I think there is. That's when maybe it becomes a problem.
Yeah, I think so.
I think
so.
I have a problem?
Possibly.
I don't know how this has kind of backfired on me. I'm trying to educate you guys on manners.
No, but if you constantly spend the entire day saying thank you, you'll end up like being the queen or Mrs.
Bouquet.
Sometimes a nod is okay. All right. Yeah. You know, when somebody's done you a favour. Just say, yeah.
Well, what's the favour?
Well, whatever the favour is. Could be just, letting you out in front of a car. Yes. Like, you don't stop and bang on his window going, thank you.
Okay, now that's totally different, Hazy. But if somebody gives you a bottle of wine, say.
Yeah.
For example.
Back to the wine.
For example, what would you say? Yeah.
I'd say, thank you very much. But there was other stuff going on.
Hypothetically, you'd say, what?
There was other stuff going on.
I just think it's very important. Yeah. And do you know what?
Yeah.
With children.
Yes.
Definitely. Oh my God. Oh, if there's any, look, I'm not saying I'm the perfect parent. I fail on a daily basis. But one thing I have nailed is manners.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
Lisa, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Lisa, hello.
Good morning. Hello to you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Go on, tell us about, because we're talking about etiquette and the art of saying thank you is gone.
Yes. I have a little 5-year-old and I absolutely think manners is the most important thing. But, I always say thanks a million.
Mm. Thanks a million.
Thanks a million.
That's a real dub expression, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah. Are you doing it?
Thanks a million.
Thanks a million.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Yeah, thanks a million, love, for that. Thanks a million. Like,
thanks a million.
Yeah, because it's like...
When I was in Australia years ago, I had left a purse in the garage.
Yeah.
And the guy had called my friends and went, that girl that says thanks a million, she left her purse here. So
yeah.
I was like, yeah.
They identified you as the girl that says thanks a million.
Thanks a million, yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant, isn't it? So you still say it all the time?
I do, yeah, I do. And I was just thinking, though, when I get off a bus,
yeah,
and you always say thanks, but for some reason, and I've realised in the last couple of years, I say Hanks.
Hanks?
Off the bus. Yeah, Hanks.
Why do you say
I
Hanks?
Hanks. I don't know. It just, the T goes missing.
There's also, I was reading some of them, we're probably one of the only nations in the world that thank our bus driver. Like, you could be going two stops.
That, yeah.
Yeah, two stops down the road, and you go, listen, thanks for that. Thanks a lot.
I thank everybody.
Yeah, well, you do, you know, in fairness. Yeah.
I thank everybody to be safe. I'd rather thank than not thank. So I probably thank inappropriately the whole time.
Yes, that's true. Yeah,
it's an
Irish
thing.
Thank you. Now, the funny thing is, like, if I get a really bad bus driver, like a really angry one. Yeah. I know I'm standing and waiting for my stop gone. I'm not saying thank you. I'm not going to do it. I'm sure they don't even realise, but I'm going, yeah. And I get off that bus, swagger off without saying thank you.
Oh my God, it's like a tip, isn't it? So if you don't get good service, you're not getting a thanks today.
I'm not
today.
Saying thank you.
Oh, I love it as well. But I mean, surely then we should, when the plane lands, knock at the pilot's door and go, listen, can I just say thank you? Because the bus driver that got me here from the car park, I said thank you to him, you know?
Oh, I thank Christ and everything when the plane lands. Yeah.
So do I. Do you clap? I won't be cross with you. Just tell me the truth.
No, I do not. Thank God. Never have a clap.
I have an internal clap, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, we don't know. Absolutely revolting.
Lisa, thanks a million for calling.
Lisa, thank you.
Thanks a million.
Have a lovely day.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Oh, God. Laura.
Thank you so much.
Good morning.
Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Laura. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Where do you stand on the please and thank you and general etiquette in life?
Oh, I think it's really, really important.
Yeah.
So I used to be working behind a bar for well over 10 years, and it used to drive me absolutely demented when people didn't thank you for, you know, drinks provided. And
I know.
So when you put the drinks on the counter and they just hand
take
you
it.
The money and then they say nothing. And
yes.
Begin to walk away, to which I always made a point to kind of loudly say,
You're welcome.
And 9 out of 10 times, they would get really embarrassed.
Yes.
But you get an odd a-hole who would be like, what did you just say?
And it's like, you're welcome.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, did you not thank me? I just said you're welcome.
Well, you can imagine how long it took me to do an in-flight service. Because when I was an air hostess, I'd hand out the trays and I'd stand there and wait for the thank you.
Oh,
and if they didn't say thank you, like you, I'd say, you're welcome, So, really annoy me.
There's another, my daughter Holly was telling me as well, because she was working on a deli counter for a while, and the amount of people that would just literally say, two slices of ham and cottage pie, and they're on the phone.
And they don't say please.
They're on the phone. They're on the phone.
You know what? Yeah, and actually the worst thing was when they actually shouted the order at you and not even, like, making a sentence.
It's not even saying, excuse me, or hello.
Budweiser, sorry, what about it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh God, we're all going to get so angry.
But oh, she's getting angry now.
I know. So
one night, there was a lovely chap at the bar, and everything he ordered, he was, oh, may I please have this, and may I.
So attractive.
He was really, really nice. So yeah. I ended up marrying him.
No way.
Great. I did, and now we have nearly 2-year-old little boys.
Oh,
yeah.
Lovely.
So the first thing you were attracted to was he said, thank you.
He said, please and thank you.
Just the way he spoke to me, the way he ordered drinks, it was, may I please, may I this and that.
Well, do you know what? You married a gentleman.
I sure did.
Yeah, you did.
Laura, listen, thanks a million. Thank you.
It's the best of the Colm and Lucy Breakfast Show on Radio Nova.
That's it from the Colm and Lucy podcast. We'll have another podcast up next week. And remember, you can join us live on the radio. Radio Nova, Monday to Friday, 6 to 10.
The Colm and Lucy podcast. Seriously addictive podcasting.
From Nova.ie and Radio Nova.